Air Today with Owen Beatty.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Now, Colin Gleeson, writing in the Irish Times, says a grave injustice has been perpetrated against Redemptorist priest Tony Flannery, and he ought to be restored to his ministry, according to the Association of Catholic Priests and the Lay Catholic Group. Well, on the line is Father Roy Donovan, spokesperson for the Association of Catholic Priests. Roy, good morning and thanks for taking our call.
Good morning, Owen.
So just to cast our minds back here, Father Flannery was suspended from public ministry by the Vatican in 2012 for publicly expressing support for women's ordination and same-sex marriage, as well as more liberal views on homosexuality. Tell us a little bit more.
Yes, and many of those issues that he was talking about 12 years ago have now become the centre of the synodal process that has been going on in Ireland for the last 2 or 3 years. So all of these issues now are, let's say, mainstream under Pope Francis, because he has encouraged a very different kind of atmosphere in the church, where he wants people to speak out boldly and to debate and to have discussion. And Roy Flannery was not given any of that. He was tried, judged and sentenced in his absence. He doesn't even know who his accuser was. And there has been no movement in a sense. It's like a life sentence for the rest of his life. And it's a huge wrong injustice.
So 11 years ago, the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith, or the CDF, instructed the Redemptorist authorities to remove Father Tony Flannery indefinitely from his priestly ministry. But as you say there, essentially Father Flannery was nearly speaking ahead of his time about these things. He was speaking about them 12 years ago, but nowadays they're becoming just everyday conversations.
Absolutely. And there's no reason why... The least they can do is, if there's still problems with him, is to offer him a space where he can find out who his accusers are, find out where he can put forward his views, his issues. I think that's the least he's asking for, that he can actually put out his side of the situation. But he's been denied that totally and completely. It's like some of these
Roy, we might just get you to move around a little bit there if you can, because the signal is breaking up ever so slightly. But this is also in the wake of the synodal pathway about how the church can, move forward and progress and be more inclusive. And tell us a little bit about that synodal process that's currently ongoing.
There's a huge shift, you might say, in consciousness with the synodal process, if it's to work, and it seems to be working. Up until now, the source of authority has only been with ordained priests. Now, the prime insight with the synodal process is that the authority rests with those who are baptized. You just are baptized, and that gives you the source of authority. And that should that's leading to new kinds of ministries. That's a very big awareness. That's challenging clericalism, the boys club, and opening up ministries, opening up leadership. It will open up everything completely to an inclusive church of where women and men are equal.
And do you welcome that, Father Donovan?
Absolutely. It is a process, and it's going on in every country throughout the world. It's amazing, really. And it's been amazing what's happened here in Ireland. We've had, inputs in Prague there recently. And what the people were saying on the ground here in Ireland was taken up and put out loudly in Prague. So that's unbelievable, really. And I never thought I would see that kind of openness. In Ireland.
What's the next steps then in the synodal process? It's you made a submission, I believe, to the Vatican a few months ago. So are you still waiting to hear back from them?
Well, Prague was kind of the European next stage of listening to where all the different countries in Europe were able to put out the outcomes of what has happened nationally in each country. The next stage is Rome in October, and where the bishops from all over the world are going to come together, our representative of bishops' conferences, and then in Rome again in October 2024. So it's a long process, and of opening up and listening and discerning how the Spirit is at work in our times.
Okay, and back then, finally, to Father Tony Flannery, who, as we say, was suspended from public ministry by the Vatican in 2012 for the opinions and supports that he expressed for women's ordination, liberal views on homosexuality and same-sex marriage. Do you think he will be restored and he'll be restored back to the ministry?
I think if we can get a campaign going among people, there's too many at the top of the church who have a Pontius Pilate kind of policy of washing their hands. Nobody seems to be able to want to make a move at the moment in his situation. It's like there's a block in the system, and I suppose we're going to be appealing to the bishops. We're going to appeal everywhere to unblock the system and to get him back into full-time ministry.
Okay.
And, So we're appealing to everyone that a grave injustice is being done to this man. It's caused a lot of hurt to him. It's taken its toll. And we don't want a situation where on his deathbed, the CDF are going to restore his ministry. We want it now.
Okay. On that note, spokesperson for the Association of Catholic Priests, Father Roy Donovan, expressing those views. And as we said, it was a joint statement released by the Association of Catholic Priests and also the Lay Catholic Group, calling for Tony Flannery to be restored to ministry. And thanks to Father Roy Donovan for joining us on the show this morning. If we go to local issues then in the Clane and Prosperous area, we're joined on the line by Social Democrats Councillor on the Clane Maynooth Municipal District, Aidan Farrelly. Morning, Aidan.
Morning, Owen.
First of all, Aidan, you wanted the council to confirm if Brooks Mill in Prosperous is in the process of being taken in charge. Is it?
Not yet. And that's the short answer. I've been out meeting residents in Brooks Mill over the last couple of weeks just to have a number of different discussions on things. And the issue of the estate being taken in charge came up a couple of times. So we started the process really by asking this question, and now we will encourage the residents to consider maybe asking the council to formally start that process rolling. And you'll see from the report, there's a second wearing course due on the road in there. So that's kind of some works like that will have to be done by the developer before the council kind of get that ready for taking in charge. But we get the ball rolling on this now, and it could take a couple of months just to get that through.
Okay, I see you were calling for the council to consider meeting a delegation of residents from a particular local road. Where is that, Aidan?
So your listeners might be aware, Owen, there's basically a local road in parallel with the canal, just at the Cock Bridge outside Prosperous. As you're heading from Prosperous to Cara,
yeah,
there's a bridge there with a thatched house on the side of the road, and it's just the road that goes down there. It runs in parallel with the canal. But residents had concerns about the hedgerow, the state of the road, really. There's a lot of potholes in it. The surface needs work, but also the general layout of that road. Oh, it takes a significant dip near the end of that. On roads like today, I'm particularly conscious of them, actually, because their concern was if you're going down or up that hill right beside the canal, and if there's any sort of ice or sort of slippiness on that road at all, it can be very dangerous. So we got agreement from the area engineer to meet those residents, so we're hoping that will take place next week, again, just to discuss what options will be available to the residents there in terms of maintenance and upgrading of that road.
Okay, you wanted a pedestrian safety barrier installed at Emerson Court in Prosperous. What's the need for this?
So, and again, I'm no engineer, so really I'm asking this on behalf of a number of residents in Emerson Court, where in the estate, the pathway kind of cuts across a green, but it goes down again a significant dip, and the end of that path is the road. And the concern for some local residents in Emerson Court was if there's a kid cycling or running down that path, there's nothing natural to kind of bring them to slow down. And then there's the road for where cars are coming in and out. So again, the area engineer is going to bring us out and just see what options are available. It might be something further up the way. Again, like I say, I'm not an engineer. We'll bring Cyril out and we'll have a chat there and see exactly what might be the best options there.
Okay, and finally then, Aidan, did you get an updated time frame for the development of a transport strategy for Clane?
No. And again, this was, I suppose, coming from, we're here in Owen, and it's no surprise to you or your listeners, the significant issue of traffic build-up congestion in Clane, how that has continued to grow, possibly since the opening of the Salins Bypass, we're seeing a huge, huge traffic issue in Clane. To address that in a more formal or structural way, the council say that that comes in by way of a transport strategy for Clane, and we're seeing a similar initiative in Maynooth currently. But the local area plan for Clane is due to come to an end this year, and the process then of public consultations and preparing that portfolio will be probably next year, and part of that is the transport strategy. So it's not looking likely that that will start this year, unfortunately, but we'll be probably preparing for that in 2024.
Okay, Social Democrats councillor on the Clane Maynooth Municipal District, Aidan Farrelly, with those local issues. Thanks, Aidan, and good morning. And we're going to stay local and just remind you again that Gardaí are investigating an assault on a man who was discovered with serious injuries in Newbridge on Wednesday morning. The man, aged in his 40s, was discovered at approximately 10:30 on Wednesday morning outside a residence in the Piercetown area of Newbridge. He was taken to Naas General Hospital, where he's currently in a critical condition. The scene at Piercetown is currently preserved for technical examination. A man in his 30s has been arrested as part of the investigation. He's currently being detained at Newbridge Garda Station, and anyone with any information is asked to contact Newbridge Garda Station or any Garda Station. If we go to Kill then, and we were discussing yesterday on the show with Fiona Forkin from the Kill Residents Action Group and Mayor of Kildare Fintan Brett about proposals to house refugees at the Equestrian Centre. We got in touch with the Department of Integration, which is Roderick O'Gorman's department, to ask for an update and particularly to get clarification about some numbers that were being thrown around the village, that 900 pods were going to be put into the Equestrian Centre, which in turn would house up to 1,800 people. We've gotten a response, and that response is as follows. The department can confirm that Kill Equestrian Centre will shortly be contracted to provide state-funded accommodation for Ukrainian beneficiaries of temporary protection. Residents will be comprised of families, mothers, fathers and children, and single females. The department has committed to engaging in the first instance with local residents and will be doing so shortly in the coming days. We can confirm that the figure you provided of 900 pods is inaccurate. The centre does not have capacity to hold such numbers. So again, this was a point that we were making yesterday on the show. Perhaps misinformation is being spread around the village. Fear is being spread, and that comes off the back of a lack of consultation and a lack of proper information. But we've got that confirmation now. That number of 900 pods, which would house 1,800 people, is inaccurate. And that has come directly from Minister Roderick O'Gorman's office. Well, if you were tuned in to the 11 to 2 show with John Dunn on Tuesday, himself and Pat Costello were down at the Vista Primary Centre in Naas because Tusla were hosting a recruitment drive there. They're looking for people to get involved and become foster carers. And on the line now is Catherine O'Neill, Principal Social Worker for the Regional Fostering Assessment Team with Tusla. Good morning, Catherine, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Owen.
Before we get into maybe the requirements and how people can get involved in foster caring, tell us a little bit about it, what it entails exactly.
Absolutely. So what we're doing is we're reaching out and seeking foster carers from all walks of life, all communities across Kildare and the surrounding counties. And I suppose what we want to do is use this opportunity to reassure people around some of the misconceptions that there are that might make people not pick up the phone to us. So talking about who is eligible, whether you're single, whether you're in a same-sex relationship, if you work, don't work, if you're over 40, or if you're from one of our new communities or from the Traveller Aroma community, we're particularly interested in hearing from you. So fostering really is about providing safe, secure and a stable home environment for some of our most vulnerable children. You do get supports. You get supports from TUSLA, financial, emotional, professional and training from TUSLA. But what we want is foster carers to come forward to meet the growing demand for placements for children in Kildare and the surrounding areas.
Okay, take me through some of those misconceptions then. As you say, you touched on them there, Catherine,
yeah.
But maybe some people might be listening and thinking, I don't know if I qualify, or they're probably looking for this, they're probably looking for that. So just go through them maybe in more detail.
So really what we're looking for is we're looking for somebody who has an interest, who is kind and has an interest in having a child in their life who they want to prioritise and meet the needs of. So the surrounding circumstances around that we want to work with. So not everybody's life is picture perfect, and there may be things that have gone on or maybe things that you've struggled with. We want to talk to you about that and see how we can best make fostering fit to ensure that we get a broad range of carers to meet the broad range of children who have needs in our communities. So, for example, there may be things, as I said, like if you thought, well, there's an age limit, so I can't foster because I'm older. There are different types of fostering that might meet your needs. If you're renting, we have no issue with that as long as you have a secure tenancy that we can work with. There are plenty of conversations that we can have with people who have an interest. If they want to reach out to us, have a conversation with us, and we can talk through those bits and pieces that they may have a concern about. There's something going on in your life that you think, I'm not sure if this works with fostering. Talk to us about it. We'd be more than happy to answer those questions. And there, as I said, there's many types of fostering. So there's short-term, there's respite, there's long-term fostering. And maybe one of those types of fostering will match with your skills and your circumstances. So let us have the opportunity to talk that through with you.
So really what I'm getting there is that there's not just one size fits all. It depends on each person's situation, depends on the needs of the child and the needs of the potential foster carer.
Exactly. And I think it's a really good point to say that it depends on the needs of the child. Not all children are the same, so not all foster carers are the same. So we want foster carers from all walks of life, all backgrounds, all experience to meet the needs of the children that we have coming into care and to make quite sure that they can be cared for in a safe, loving environment, hopefully within their communities, so they can maintain the links that they already have with their friends, their sports groups, their school. We want all that to stay in place for our children.
We've spoken to some foster carers on the show here in years gone by, and one word that always comes up time and time again is rewarding, how rewarding it is. It can be a little bit maybe daunting at the start, it's something new, but ultimately once you start building up a relationship with the child that you've brought in, it is extremely rewarding.
We are so lucky to have so many fantastic foster carers in Kildare and in many other areas as well, who do talk with such passion and conviction about what they have gotten from fostering. It is not easy, but it is exceptionally rewarding. We have fantastic children who we want to make quite sure that they reach their full potential, and there are definitely people out there who can help make that happen, and that is rewarding.
Okay, so if people want to get involved, then what's the best way to do so? How can they get in touch with TUSLA?
Absolutely. We were very enthusiastic to hear from anybody, whether it's a question or a query or you want to take it further. So there's a couple of different ways. You can get more information on fostering.ie.
We appear to maybe have just lost Catherine. So, Caoimhe, if you can hear me, we might get Catherine back just to go through how to get in touch with TUSLA. But just to remind you, you don't have to fit a certain criteria. You don't have to be married. You don't have to be in a couple. You don't have to be straight. You don't have to own your own home. Even if you are renting, you can foster. So that kind of might open people's minds a little bit about getting more information on it. Catherine is back with us now. Catherine, you were saying there just about how people can get in touch.
Yes, so you can get more information on fostering.ie. If you'd like to give us a call, that's possible on 1-800-226-771 or email us at tusla.fostering@tusla.ie. And we'd be really interested in hearing from you and talking through further how fostering might best fit with you.
Okay, you might call that number out for me again, Catherine.
I will, of course. It's 1-800-226-771.
Perfect. And the other thing just to mention before we let you go is that there are supports throughout the whole fostering process. It's not, to put it frank, here's a child and off you go, you know, with your own devices. You are constantly liaising with TUSLA.
Oh, absolutely not. We want this to work for the child, but also for you. So we are there to support you. So from the moment you make that phone call, we'll walk you through the process of whether it's just an interest to find out more information or whether you go on to complete an assessment. When a child is placed with you, you are supported. As I say, financially, there's professional social work support and there is training. Training before you start your fostering journey and training throughout your fostering journey.
Okay, thanks indeed to Catherine O'Neill, Principal Social Worker for the Regional Fostering Assessment Team with TUSLA, with that information. And again, just to give you that number, it's 1-800-226-771. Or you can get more information on the website www.fostering.ie. Now, just looking at the weather warning around the county, people are being urged to take care on their commute this morning. A status orange warning for snow and ice, which has been in effect for Dublin and Wicklow, has been lifted, but a status yellow ice warning remains in place for the whole country. Further falls of snow are expected with accumulations in places and icy conditions. Met Éireann said the rain, sleet and snow in the east will clear into the Irish Sea to leave a cold and generally dry day with sunny spells. It will be cloudier in the southeast with isolated showers, and some showers of rain and sleet are possible on northern coasts. Temperatures are set to fall to -5 in some areas tonight, with a mix of rain, sleet and snow in some areas. All right, let's go back to the phone lines where Jackie McNabb is with us, Head of Enterprise at the Kildare Local Enterprise Office. Jackie, good morning and thanks for taking our call.
Oh, look, always an absolute pleasure. Thanks a million for the opportunity to talk about Enterprise Week.
That's next week, Jackie, is it, that Enterprise Week is launching? So from Monday?
No, we're concluding an absolute...
oh, brilliant.
Fantastic week. We've had events from Monday the 6th until, well, our last is not today. In fact, we have a Start Your Own Business program for food companies or for food enthusiasts who wish to, I suppose, look at their hobby and think, can they create an income from it? And that there are still some places left on that. But we've had multiple events every week. And I suppose also we have nominated our National Enterprise Award nominee. So Barry Flanagan of Kildare Brewing, we're absolutely delighted and proud to have him represent Kildare up against the 30 other counties in the country in terms of entrepreneurship.
Indeed. So Local Enterprise Week, in summary, Jackie, what's it all about within Kildare?
Well, I suppose, you know, it's a focus week nationally to outline the services of your local enterprise office, and the message being this is in a concentrated week, but we're open every week. And our purpose and our goal is to support as many businesses in Kildare, thrive, sustain jobs and grow jobs. And at times that can be granted, at times it can be training, and at times it's simply a listening ear and a direction that we can guide people on. Our website has all our services on it, kildareleo.ie, and the door is open the 52 weeks of the year.
Super stuff. And I mentioned there as well, and you touched on it, about Barry Flanagan from the Kildare Brewing Company, who now goes on to represent Kildare. Fantastic business there in Salins, and I'm not just saying that because I'm from the area, but he does great work, and a worthy winner of that as well. But it's just an example of some of the great local enterprises that we have in the county, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I suppose why Barry stuck out was that brewing has become such a competitive sector to be in now. There are microbreweries in every county and indeed multiple. And what Barry did was he looked at the change in demand of his customers and started to pivot and create a new product with the kombucha product, and that is now in sale in all Aldis nationwide. And for Barry, we're looking now at a very, very exciting export plan with him. And he will go far, not only with the brewing, but also the kombucha, which is actually a brewed product, non-alcoholic, which is, you know, it's the innovation of him. He's also very focused on the green agenda. And kombucha takes much less water to make than actually the alcohol. And he was looking to make a significant change and impact on the environment. And he's done all of that. We're incredibly fortunate to have him as one of our clients.
Great stuff. And before we let you go, Jackie, just remind us and our listeners and businesses particularly out there about the supports that are available from the local enterprise office and how they can reach out.
Well, look, as I said, at times people don't understand or know exactly what they want from us. And I would say to each and every solo entrepreneur or small business, just contact the office at localenterprise.ie/Kildare. There's a tab there that says request a meeting, and we will gladly meet and talk through anybody's needs. And as I say, our sole purpose and our job is to support those businesses. And it's a privilege to be able to do it on a week-to-week basis. We obviously had a great enterprise week, but look forward to seeing new clients next week.
Indeed. Listen, well done. And congratulations to all involved there with Local Enterprise Week. And that is Jackie McNabb, Head of Enterprise with the Kildare Local Enterprise Office. Thanks, Jackie.